Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Well, praise God. If you have your Bibles, open it to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we are going to continue talking about being battle-born. Raise your hand if God has ministered to you already in battle born. Come on, there may be three of you, maybe four of you. Come on, give the Lord praise this morning. He has ministered to me for sure. And we all know the story, whether you haven't served God for 3 minutes or you've been serving God for 30 years. We all know this story of David, the young Hebrew boy that goes up against giant. This big giant, they call him Goliath. And we saw from the beginning of the text of they were in the Valley of Elah. And we learned about the Valley of Elah. There's a reason that they were there. It's because Saul, the king of the time, it's because he had put his guard down and they had been after them. And so the Philistines learned if they camped out in that particular place, if they took that place, they would begin to take the trade guilds that happened in Bethlehem. If they got in that place, they would also take the road that went to Hebron, where there was influential people inside of that city. If they took that place, it was also the road to Jerusalem. It was a crossroads. And those of you that have been coming on Wednesday night, we know that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God comes to give life and life more abundantly. We've been learning on Wednesday nights, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. There's only one road. That word wiles means one road. There's only one avenue. There's only one lane that the enemy tries to come down. But I've got good news for you. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 7 tells us this. The enemy comes down one road, but he flees in seven. Come on, who's thankful for that this morning? That he flees in seven. But there was a strategy behind them being there. And the Bible tells us in this text in the beginning that there was a giant that came out from the land of the Philistines named Goliath. We learn from history that he was 9'6" tall. That's a large person from Gath. He was a huge person. And so he comes out and he begins to taunt. We know from history this, that He had armor on him that was up to 500 to 700 pounds. And for 40 days, he had a tailor-made word that he would come out and he would say to the Israelites. I'm here to tell you, if the enemy has a tailor-made word for you, how many of y'all believe God has a tailor-made word for you to speak to the enemy? Come on, I'm going to say that again. If the enemy has a tailor-made word that he wants to speak into your ears and try to get into your mind and try to take over your life and your family, how many of y'all believe God has given us a promise that we need to stand on to say tailor-made against the enemy? Come on, when he speaks into your ear and says, you know what, you're not going to be protected. You're always going to live in this place of fear. You need to have a tailor-made word that says, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You need to have a tailor-made word from Psalm 91 that says, he'll keep his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways, that no evil befall me and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When the enemy starts to speak words to say you're going to be in lack and you're not going to make it financially, you need a tailor-made word that comes back to him from Philippians 4:19 that says, God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, if the enemy has a tailor-made word, I'm trying to get you fired up this morning. You need a tailor-made word for your situation right here, right now. I'll start preaching here in a minute. But I'm just sick of giants taking over families. I'm sick of giants in America. I'm going to say that again. I'm sick of giants in America. You know what a giant is? A giant is this. It's the thing that's distracted you, discouraged you, and detoured you from your promise. So this giant comes out 40 days and 40 nights. And God raised up a young man named David. And I want to look at David this morning before I go into scripture of some things that David did. I want to look at his life, his personal life as a young boy, of how he set himself up for success. I'm telling you right now, you might be want to be the one who slays the giants in the community that everybody sees, but I'm here to tell you there's things you win at home before you win ever anywhere else. I'm going to say that again. You win at home before you win anywhere else. If you're not winning at home, and if you're not winning when you're by yourself, you'll never win the big giants that come knocking on your door. But isn't it amazing how one person, like looking at this giant Goliath, isn't it amazing how one person can bring so much darkness? I mean, one president. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. One family. You can have one family member, you can have 10 good ones, and when you have one bad apple that gets on drugs and alcohol, it affects the whole family. Isn't it crazy how just one person can be so cold-hearted that there's absolutely no love in their life, how it brings such division, not only in a community, but on a Facebook community? Come on, who am I talking to? Inside of a sports club, one cold-hearted mama can stir up the whole thing. Come on, I know I'm preaching to somebody out there. Oh, witchy woman. Isn't it amazing? Well, any organization, I don't care, any organization, one person can stir up the whole deal. One person can make people just lose their ever-living minds. Isn't it crazy how one person that decided to drink heavily one night, leave the bar drunk and hit that 16-year-old girl because of one bad choice and one idiot, it brings so much disaster to a family and a community. But I truly believe this. From this text right here, it gives me hope. If that can happen with one person in darkness, what happens when one person comes to the light? Come on, what can God do when one person comes to the light? What can God do in your family, Dad? What can God do in your family, Mom? If you just get a little bit of wisdom that comes from Jesus Christ. If you get a little bit of love in your heart. Who am I talking to this morning? So there's some things about David that I want to point out here. In 17 and verse 12, it says this. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons. Jesse was old in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men. He was a son. And if you study this word son here in the Greek, or actually in the Hebrew, you see this, that he was a very young man, perhaps just going through puberty. And kids now, they go through it in a very earlier age, so this puts him probably at 13, 14 years old. But we do know this about him, that his reflection or his complexion was ruddy. In fact, when Goliath saw him, he laughed when he saw him. Because why am I, he said this at one point, why am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Am I going to play fetch with this young man that you brought to me? And so he was a young man, but this tells me this, that age has no difference whether or not you can kill a Goliath. Come on, I'm going to say that again. I don't care if you're 80 in here, there's still Goliaths for you to slay. I don't care if you're 10 years old in here, there's still Goliaths that God wants you, use you to slay. I don't care if you're 25, 35, 45, divorced, single, fat, tall, whatever you are, God wants to use you to slay some giants in your life. Can I get an amen this morning? I love it in Acts 13, he said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Well, he wasn't a man, he was just a boy. But he was a man because of his thinking and things that he did when he was by himself. If you go in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see this in verse 18. He's now with Saul. He's playing the harp for him because he's lost his mind. I mean, literally, he's gone crazy. Just got off the Jerry Springer show. He is like at a messed up place. Mari Povich couldn't help him. Dr. Phil couldn't help him. They said, send the boy. And so this boy shows up, verse 18, when one of the young men said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is a skillful musician. He's a brave and competent man. He's a warrior, discerning, prudent, eloquent in speech, a handsome man, and the Lord is with him. There's some things before he goes to battle that he has done in his personal life that has prepared him for the thing God wants to use him out for everybody to see. I'm going to say this again, and I've already said it before, but you won't win the battles out in front of everybody else until you start winning the battles inside of your own heart. And so it says this about David, that he was a skillful musician. Now, I'm not a perfect musician, but I am a musician, and I've played here in church for many years. And I know this, that is a gift to be a musician, but to be a skillful one, you're going to have to be dedicated to the process. David was committed. He desired excellence. For you to be skillful at something, you got to be committed. If you want to be a skillful roper, you got to be committed to roping. If you want to be a skillful in playing baseball, you got to be committed to those things. My boy needs to be committed to wrestling. My daughter needs to be committed to those things, because what's it do? It produces excellence in your life. You know where we live today in 2021? Uncommitted people. And I'll tell you, some of the worst ones are Christians. I told you before, we drove through the night to get here. And last year, our last match was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He wrestled at 8 o'clock New Mexico time. That's 9 o'clock Texas time. We got back here at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I looked at this guy, and I said, you know, being a preacher, I got to make it back to church. He said, you shouldn't say that blame it on being a preacher. You should blame it on being a believer. I said, yikes, let's go ahead and spank me with that one. But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to be committed as a believer, you need to be committed to the house of God. I make a schedule around the church house. And you know, I'm not pointing any fingers here and trying to bring condemnation. But I'm here to tell you, he did say, in God's presence is fullness of joy. He did say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He did say in Hebrews chapter 10, let us forsake not the assembling of saints together. I'm telling you, there is a camaraderie that happens in your heart when you get in the house of God. In Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I better keep moving here. The next thing that it says about David as a young boy, he was brave and competent. Meaning this, he was willing to stand and to fight. When the lion and the bear came, he laid down his life for the sheep. There's something that happened in him that he saw, even just out there with them sheep, the bottom of the totem pole, that God did something in his heart. Be brave and competent. We see in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 7, it says this, that be strong in the Lord and very courageous. And then it tells us, don't depart from the word of the Lord, but you shall meditate on it day and night. I'm telling you, there's a brave and there's a competence that comes when you are in the word of the Lord. The next thing we see from the Amplified translation says that he was a warrior. I looked this up. This means this. He was a man of principle. He wouldn't surrender any territory. He stood for what is right. You better stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Charlie Pride said, you'll be like a puppet on a string. Pastor, why are you so fired up and passionate about America? You know, some preachers out there are scared to talk about these types of things. It's because I'm standing for the truth, and I'll always stand for the truth. And anybody that doesn't back the truth, I'm telling you, I'm not going to call evil good, and I'm not going to call good evil. Don't even get me started on that rant. But he was a warrior. Psalm 1 says this, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And if he meditates it, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth due fruit in due season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he puts his hand to shall and will prosper. He was a warrior. He was a man of principle. He did what was right. The next thing is this. He was discerning in speech. I love what the old King James says. He was prudent in his manners. Meaning this, we know this from history, that his dad had him over the sheep, but sheep was big money. He was the youngest son that was the most responsible. He was trusted in his money. I'm telling you, if you don't start winning in your money, you ain't going to win big Goliaths in your life. And everybody has a different amount allotted to them, but God will only give you what he can trust you with. Proverbs 27:23 says this, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Be diligent to know. If we ain't got money for this, we ain't gonna buy it. I'm telling you, there's something on this young man that his dad saw and we need to see as well. Obviously, this young man that was saying, hey, he should come play the harp for you, he saw it in him too. So he was a skillful musician, he was brave and competent, he was a warrior, he was prudent in his manners. We also see this, that he was a handsome man. I'm going to say this, he cared how he looked. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, pleasing unto him. Come on, I think there is some favor that will come upon your life and unlock some things if you would just do your hair. You know, I hadn't had a date in 10 years. Well, the first thing that I can see is deodorant, all right? There we go. Glory to God. That was straight from heaven. Old Spice. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have Gucci at Armani or anything like that, because you can have clothes from Walmart and look approachable. I'm going to say that again. You can have clothes from Walmart and look approachable. See these boots that I have on right here? Paid $59 online for them. They look fake as all get out, but you know what? I look sharp this morning. I'm telling you, there's favor that'll come on your life if you just look like you are approachable. You also ought to look like Jesus lives on the inside of you. You ought to look like the creator of the universe lives on the inside of you. Not that you just got out of bed. Hey, boss, I want a promotion. Well, do your hair and get here on time. Come on, who am I talking to this morning? I'm talking to somebody. Said he was a handsome man. He cared about the way he looked. Then it goes on to say this, the Lord was with him. Psalm 91 tells us, he who abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge and my fortress. It's in him I put my trust. The reason that the Lord was with him is because he spent time with the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you're going to slay some giants in your life, we need to look at this young boy, David, who had just maybe barely gone through puberty or about to, but he was a skillful musician. He was brave and competent. He was a warrior. He was prudent in manners, handsome man, and the Lord was with him. Now let's read together verses 20 through 26, chapter 17. It says, so David got up early in the morning, left his flock with a keeper. Well, there's another thing that I see about David. He made sure that his home was right before he went out to the battlefield. You know what my dad told me from the very beginning? He told me, he said, son, I don't care how big you ever get in ministry. If you lose at home, you lose in life. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You're chasing that big dream, but you're not winning at home. I'm telling you, you will not win. I don't care where you go or how far it takes you. If you lose raising kids, you're losing in life. Flock with the keeper picked up the provisions and went just as Jesse had directed him. And he came to the encampment as the army was going out in battle formation, shouting the battle cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in a battle formation, army against army. Then David left his provisions in the care of the supply keeper and ran to the ranks and came and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these the same words again, that tailor-made word, and David heard him. When the men of Israel all saw the man, they fled from him and were very frightened. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. The king will reward the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter in marriage and make his father's house family free from taxes and service in Israel." You get three things. Come on, somebody. Then verse 26, pay attention here. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him. "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace of his taunting from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" There it is again. How many of y'all know he was in covenant with God? "That he has taunted and defied the armies of the living God." The men told him, "That is what will be done for the man who kills him." Now that we see his personal life, he now comes to the field. He brings pizza to his brothers. They're hungry. There's three things that I want to write down from this text that I see from verses 20 through 26. The first thing is this. Number one, he was focused on God and not on his giant. I'm going to say it one more time. You know how we need to be in our life? We need to focus on God and not on the giant. You know, we want to blame everything on somebody. It wasn't until verse 26 that he even brings up God. God has not been mentioned in the first 26 scriptures. Everything has been talking about the giant. And I'll tell you, I've been convicted of this. Oh, it's Pelosi's fault. Oh, it's Schumer's fault. Oh, it's Biden's fault. Oh, it's Camel's fault. Oh, it's this person's fault or this person's fault or this person's fault. Rather than looking at the giant, I believe he came into the picture and he says, "Let's not look at the giant anymore. Let's look at what God can do." There's people out there, and I said this to somebody last night They wanted a prayer request, and I told them this. You know, I'm very careful, and I'm very guarded of who I'm going to tell about something personal in my life, because I don't want them to say it from a place of fear when they talk about my situation. I want people to say it from a place of faith about my situation. Come on, listen, if you want to blab your whole life story out on Facebook, that's okay. But I know this, that words can bring a curse upon your life. Look what happened right here. We know in the story. They knew all of this about the giant. And the Bible says, when they heard, they were dismayed. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be very careful of the things that I'm hearing. I want to be very careful of the people that are speaking into my life. I don't want to say my diabetes. Who wants to say my diabetes? I want to say Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent his word and he healed me and he delivered me from all destruction. I want to say this. The facts is this is what the doctor has said. But I'll tell you right now, really, in all reality, what it is God said this. 1 Peter 2:24, "By his stripes I am healed." I don't care if it's a chronic disease that you've had all your life. The minute that you begin to just accept that this is from the Lord, I'm telling you, God gives good gifts. God gives good gifts. He was so busy looking at all the things of the giant that they forgot about God. David finally says to him, hey guys, this is spiritual. And how many of y'all know when it's spiritual, it's personal to God? Oh, I'm going to say that again. When it's spiritual, it's personal to God. Think about the Damascus Road experience. Paul's walking along, or Saul, he's walking along there, and Jesus comes to him and he says, hey, why you kick against the pricks? Why do you persecute me? Why are you persecuting me? He says, I don't even know you. I've persecuted Stephen and I've persecuted all these other people. And God was basically telling him this, when you messed with the body, you messed with me. Well, I'm going to say it again. He said, when you mess with the body, you messed with me. The minute that it became spiritual, it became personal to God. You know what we're fighting right now? Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It's against powers. It's against rulers over darkness. It's against wickedness in high places. Your fight is not against a mother-in-law. It's not against a boss. It's not against Democrats or Republicans. Your fight is against the adversary. Your fight is against the prince of the power of the air. Your fight is a spiritual fight. You may think that it's from this family or this family. You don't realize how far that it goes back, the Hatfields and the McCoys. I'll tell you, even in the Hatfields and McCoys, it started out as a spiritual battle, and it's still a spiritual battle today. Am I helping you this morning? Number two is this, wherever you focus, you will go. Verse 25, he said, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming up? What were they focused on? They were focused on how big the giant was. I tell you what, this week I've had to remind myself of this. I'm focused on how big the oil deal is. I put it out this week. Maybe some of you saw it. If Jed Clampett himself realized how profitable oil is, you would think somebody in power would too. Up through the ground came a bubbling crude. But am I so much focused more on that and jobs being lost and all the different things that are happening that I forget that we serve the God that parted the Red Sea? Come on, somebody. We serve the God that was with the three Hebrew children in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We serve the God that was with Daniel in the lion's den. And I'm telling you, there ain't no man, there ain't no senator, there ain't no House of Representative. I'm telling you that should take us off the focus of what God can do. He said, have you seen him? See what happened for 40 days. For 40 days, the giant got bigger and Saul got smaller. Y'all know that phone call that comes from the doctor? Where the giant gets bigger. And you get smaller. Or you've had that mail that's came in. That giant got bigger 40 days. It got bigger and you got smaller. Or that situation that's happening with your child. It got bigger and you got smaller. I'm here to ask you this morning, wherever your focus is, that's the direction of where you'll go. I'm trying to help somebody. Psalm 34:3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. You know what happens when I magnify the name of the Lord? Come on, CNN, it dwindles away. Fox News, it dwindles away. CNBC dwindles away. When I magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, when I magnify him, when I put him in the spotlight, it brings joy to my life. See, Psalm 91 says, he who abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, he was out there with them sheep. Ba-ram-you. Ba-ram-you. But he was playing that guitar. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16, he was a skillful musician, but we also see about him that he spent time with the Lord. So as he shows up, the giant was so big in their life that they couldn't see any way past that, but he comes from a whole different perspective. Where I just came from, he was with me with the lion and the bear. You know, I've said this story before, but how many of y'all have ever been at the mall before where somebody's like, they're waving? I don't know this person. And I always try to be nice, like, do I know you from Colorado? Do I know you from college? Do I know you from when I was a heathen? Do I know you? And so, you know, you wave back, and then they walk past you, and they talk to the person behind you, and you're like, oh, okay. You know where the focus was of David? Come on, this is so good. You lean in right here. You know where it was? Is the giant was going like this. And he was going, oh, my gosh, you are so big. Oh, my goodness, look how great you look. Oh, my goodness, look at all that armor. Oh, my goodness, look at that glow. Oh, my goodness, and Goliath was saying, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And David said, no, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm looking because I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm not under you, giant. I'm under a different shadow that's been cast over me. I'm under a shadow that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm under a shadow that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, Addison. I am under a shadow. If God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? That's where my focus is. My focus ain't on these other things. David, it wasn't the fact that David wasn't bigger than Goliath. It's the fact that Goliath wasn't bigger than his God. You can go ahead and write that down. You can tweet it, whatever you'd like to do this morning. But David wasn't bigger than Goliath. It's that Goliath wasn't bigger than his God. How many of y'all believe? Whatever giant you're facing, it's not as big as your God. It's the last point right here. Number three is this. Focus on God. Focusing on God brings opportunity. Say that one more time. Number three, focusing on God brings opportunity. Pastor, what if I tithe? What if I tithe? What if I give? What if I read my Bible? What if I go to Bible school? What if I come to prayer at 9 a.m. on Saturday? What if I pray with you at 6:30 in the mornings every single day? What if? What he's saying here is not the question of what if I do all those other things. The question is, what if I run to the giant? What if I run to the place of conflict? Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, what if in 2021 we didn't casually seek the Lord? What if in 2021 we more diligently seek the Lord? I'm going to tell you this morning, focusing on God will bring opportunities in your life. You know, I've never met a Christian. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet this morning. I've never met a believer. I'm careful how I say the word Christian anymore. I've never met a believer that said it wasn't worth it. I've never met a believer. I'm telling you, in my family, my wife's family, we've had hardships. We've had hard times. We've had giants. I've seen giants come, and I've seen giants fall. But speaking from my own experience in my life, I'll tell you the same thing this morning. Even for my own self, but I have never met a believer that said that it wasn't worth it. Timothy, if you know the backstory of Timothy, he's at the church at Ephesus. Nero, he begins to burn Christians. He sets half the place on fire and begins to blame it on believers. So he's running for his life, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, He says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight, and I finished the race, and I have kept the faith. He said, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Pastor, what's the reward if I stick out this marriage? I believe this is for somebody this morning. What's the reward? Maybe it's you, husband. Maybe it's you, wife. But what's the reward if I stick out this marriage? I'm telling you, the reward is raising kids in the admonition of the Lord. The reward is a blessing over your life. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As I look at this story of David, I see that he was focused on God and not on his giant. I see that wherever his focus was, that's where he was going. And he was focused and determined to slay this giant. And number three, he was focusing on God, which brought a great opportunity. See, Jesse's house was forever changed because of the obedience and because of him who diligently sought the Lord. I'm here to tell you, I'll raise my hand, and there's many others in here. Focusing on God always brings great opportunity. I'm going to say it again. Focusing on God always brings a great opportunity. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. The Bible says, whatever you put your hand to shall and will prosper. I'm telling you, in the day of 2021, who's with me this morning, you'll raise your hand and say, you know what? I'm not going to be casual anymore. I'm going to be more diligent. Come on, raise your hand with me this morning and say, I'm not going to be casual anymore. I'm going to be more diligent. Raise your hand if you say, you know what? I'm going to focus on God and not on my giant. You know what I'm going to do? Come on, raise your hand and say, wherever I go and I choose to pick where I'm going, the Lord will guide me and direct me. Come on, raise your hand if you say, know this, that focusing on God will bring a great opportunity for your life. How many of y'all got something out of the Word this morning? I believe there's people in the room. You have a giant. You feel like Saul. For 40 days, that giant has gotten bigger and you've gotten smaller. The giant's gotten bigger, but you've gotten smaller. I believe there's an anointing in here this morning to pray for you. Come on, who is that? You say, you know what? Last couple of days, the giant's gotten bigger. The giant's gotten bigger. Come on, be honest this morning. Just raise your hand. The giant's gotten bigger. The giant's gotten bigger. Be obedient to the Lord this morning. I see hands all over the room. Oh, in Jesus' mighty name. I believe there's an anointing here this morning. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, keep your hand raised. God, I pray for these in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, church, get in agreement with me to pray for these. Lord, I pray for these in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, that their giant has gotten bigger and they've gotten smaller. Lord, I pray in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, that you begin to touch them, that you begin to minister to them, that greater is he that's in them than he that is in the world. Lord, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would just begin to minister right now, Lord. They'd feel the healing hand of the Lord in Jesus' mighty name, the healing hand of the Lord. Lord, I pray that if you were with David, the young boy, with the lion and the bear, Lord, you will be with these that have a giant up in front of them. Lord, I pray right now by the power of your Spirit, it's not by might, it's nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so, Lord, I come before you and I pray for an anointing. Lord, that you would give them wisdom for that situation that seems impossible, that seems like it's never going to work out, that it's never going to get right, that it's never going to stop being such a heartache. But Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name that you begin to do what only you can do. God, if you were there for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God, if you were there for the woman with the withered hand, if you were there for all those things, God, you will be there right now for these. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you feel victory in the room, raise your hand. Come on, if you feel victory in the room, put your hands together. Come on, if you feel victory in the room. I love that song. It says, there's hope in the morning. There's hope. Come on, dads. There's hope in the Word of God for your children. Moms, I believe this is for somebody this morning. There's hope in the Word of God for your daughters. There's hope in the Word of God for you as a parent, for your child. There is hope for your finances. There is hope for your marriage. There is hope for your job. There's hope. How many of y'all got some hope this morning? Oh, the giant may be big. Oh, this is for somebody. The giant may be big, but he's too big to miss. The giant may be big, but he's too big to miss. Come on, the giant may be big, but he's too big to miss. Ain't that right, Pastor Shannon? He's too big to miss. Come on. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, this is the most important matter that is at hand. If you're in this room and you say, you know what, I'm separated from God. I don't know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I can honestly say this, if I died today, I don't know if heaven would be my home or hell would be my home. You might have a grandpappy's pappy's pappy that was a great Baptist preacher, and you think by osmosis that greater is on the inside of you. I'm here to tell you the only way to heaven. He said this, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He says this, to accept him inside of your heart. And I'm telling you, there's family members that'll never forgive you. There's co-workers that'll never forgive you. Only Jesus Christ will forgive you of what you've said and done. Only Jesus says, you know what, I'll stick to you closer than any brother. Only Jesus will be there. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. I'm telling you, only Jesus doesn't hold it over your head, but he counts you as righteous. Oh, come on. Right standing with God. So if you're out there and you say, you know what, I'm away from the Lord and I need to come back to him, this prayer is for you. Or if you've never prayed this prayer before, I want to invite you to pray it with me this morning. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, you say, Pastor, you know what, this works for me. Please pray this with me all over the room. I'm going to ask other believers to pray it with us. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You were buried. And on the third day, you rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. I invite you in. Make me new. From this day forward, I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.